Good morning, everyone. This morning's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and you can find it on page 79 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This ends the reading of the scripture.
We want to thank Elizabeth for playing the organ today, piano. We welcome you back. We missed you, Beth. We missed you. Rebecca did a wonderful job, but we still missed you. So we've been looking at the four Gospels. We're calling it the four faces of Jesus. And you remember that there are three Gospels called the Synoptic Gospels, and they're Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then Gospel of John is something different altogether. So Matthew and Luke, the text that we were reading and the children were reading for the pageant, they are full of nativity stories, right? They're presenting Jesus as a baby, as a child. And so we remember that, Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't have any nativity stories, but he jumps right in with Jesus at his baptism and the beginning of his ministry. But then we come to the Gospel of John. And John is something totally different. So it's not one of the synoptics, it's different. And interesting that it doesn't go back to the birth stories, but goes way, 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 way back to the beginning of time. And so it's an ancient position, an ancient text presenting what was going on before creation even begins. So it goes way, 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 way back, as Van Morrison has one of his songs, way, 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 way back. And so we're going to look at that text today. The face of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We've been presenting the slides or paintings by Holguin, who is a Bolivian painter, painting in originally from Cochabamba, where I spend most of my time, and then to La Paz. And He has these four slides from the 1600s of the four Gospels, and if you go to the National Gallery in La Paz, there they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, presenting Holguin's understanding of, or his imagination of what the four writers were thinking of. And so here we have the Gospel of John, John writing, looking to heaven for inspiration. In the back, way in the back, it's hard to see there, but you have the mountains of La Paz rather than the Judean hills for his position. So Holguin from Potosí, 1600. So this is Gospel of John. So we're going to look at three themes that jump out from this text: life, light, and love. So again, different from what we saw in the synoptics, but themes that resonate very much with us today. So we'll look at some of the texts. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's verse 1. And then in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So the word life is the Greek word zoe. So that's the first key word that we think of. So life, zoe, is connected to the Greek idea of logos. So logos is the word for word, a thing. A thing is logos. A word is logos. And philosophically, in the days of the first century, there was writing about the logos, how universe came into existence. So there was different positions on the logos. And so John, he picks up on this, and he links the logos with the word life. So logos is word, life is zoe. He brings the two together. So it's an everyday idea, but John's going to fill it with theological importance, and he does so here. And we note just how he does that. The logos, or life, is pre-existent. Look at verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. The he is the logos. He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. So the logos is also the agent of creation. So this is a little technical, but I want you to see how important it is. So it's pre-existent, the logos. Creation comes into being through the logos. And then in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So twice we have this word zoe, life. The logos is the sustainer of life. So the logos is all about creation and life. Now, John is going to go on, by the end of verse 18, it's going to reveal that Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is the one who gives all of this, who is pre-existent, who is the agent of creation, who is the sustainer of life. So it's a big, big, big idea, way before the nativity stories of the birth in Bethlehem. This is what John is presenting. So the power of the Logos and the power of life. And so clearly, Advent is about life. A baby is born, right? We saw that. Baby is born. A baby is born in Bethlehem. God breaks into our world in Jesus. That's the idea of the incarnation. Incarnation is the idea of taking on flesh, incarnate. Even as we are called to incarnate Christ. People are to see Christ in us. That's the idea. The incarnation keeps taking place. The church is to be a place where people hopefully see Christ in us, that we incarnate Christ as a body. That's the calling. It's a big, 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 big calling. So God breaks into our world in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus. So it's about life, Advent. So we celebrate. We celebrate good news. It's the gospel. Remember, the word gospel comes from the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. There's a title in the Gospel of Mark. This is the gospel. And that word gospel comes from that very statement, Mark 1:1. So the gospel reminds us that God is in solidarity with us in Jesus Christ. And that gives us life. But it's not just any old life. It's eternal life. That's the idea. Zoe is life. But the Zoe in Christ is Zoe eternal, ionos, eternal life. gives us life. So we have a couple of texts. Jesus says to Nicodemus, remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus is saying, oh man, he's the teacher of the law and he's not getting any of this stuff. Jesus says you have to be born again. Nicodemus takes it literally and says, well, how can that happen? How can I go back into my mom's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, man, you are not getting it. It's not that. You're a teacher of the law and you don't even understand this. Life, eternal life comes from the Father. It's a gift. And he ends that statement that whoever believes in him, the Son of Man, may have eternal life. Jesus says that. If you believe in him, you have eternal life. Meaning, not just a concept, not just an idea, believe in Jesus as an idea, but you believe in him. You're committed to him. I'm committed to him. That's the idea. We're attached to him. We want to be that close. We live our life in communion with Jesus. That's the idea of belief. Belief is not just an idea. It's not just a thought, okay? It's not just an intellectual process when Jesus talks about belief. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And remember a famous statement to Martha, John 11, which is at the raising of Lazarus. And Jesus says this famous verse, I am the resurrection and the life. This is before he raises Lazarus, his good friend. He's talking to his other good friend, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Then Jesus says, do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, I believe this. I believe that you are the Messiah. And she thinks he's talking about the end times when everybody is raised. Jesus says, no, I'm talking about right now, too. And Lazarus is going to be raised, and we have that first or that amazing miracle of the raising of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. So the first thing that John wants to say at the beginning, right at the beginning of his gospel, John chapter 1, we're talking about life. We're talking about Zoe. We're talking about eternal life, not just life here, your life right now, my life, but then we're going to die. We're all going to die. But we're talking about eternal life. A life that's beyond this life, a life that goes forever. And it's not just time, right? It's quality. It's abundant life. It's shalom. That's our gift that we receive from God, life. And somehow we need to hold on to that because we can, you know, we all get discouraged. We all have hard days, right? We have hard seasons. You can have a hard year. I don't know what 25 was for you. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I hope 26 is a whole lot better than 25, because 25 was pretty much a write-off. Anybody feel like that? You don't have to raise your hand. I bet there are. We have these hard times. People we love die. But the life we have in Jesus is life beyond just this physical life. It's eternal life. That's a great gift. And that should cheer our hearts. That should give us joy. It doesn't give us joy if we never think about it. It doesn't give us joy if it's just an idea. But we're invited to live our lives recognizing that our life doesn't just end in some future date, whenever that might be. It goes on. I've told you the story before of my uncle. He lived out in Nanaimo, and I have a cousin, if you like, who is blind, and my Uncle George was in his room, and the rest of the family, this is in the last hours, and, you know, my uncle's going to die, like he's there to die. It's the very end. And Mel, for some reason, gets up. He's blind, goes into the room where my Uncle George is, and he sees an angel seated beside my uncle. Told me this. And Mel does not make up stories. He's an accountant by trade, okay? He works on GST, you know what I mean? He's a brilliant guy, but he's not making up stories. He goes in there, and he comes back out, and I just saw an angel, and that is when George died. He goes in, he sees the angel, and he dies, my uncle. Now, you can believe that or not. That's Mel's story to me. I believe him. But it talks about life. He talks about eternal life, life beyond just here and now. That's our gift. So Christmas is about that. It starts with life. Life for you, life for me. But we have to hold on to that. Second point. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. The next theme is light. So that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So the first word, life, is zoe. The second word, light, is the Greek word phos. So we can think in terms of phos or phos, phosphorescence, light. In the diving world, if you dive at night, there are little creatures, organisms in the water that collect the light from the day, and then they emit it. At night you see it. They collect it, probably not the right term, and then they emit it. And so when you shake your fins, you see all this green light just flashing everywhere. Just moving your fins in the water creates all this explosion of light. The gift of light. And John says that Jesus is the true light. He comes to enlighten the entire world. He lights up the world. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. There are 7 I am statements in the Gospel of John. This is one of them. I am the light of the world. The true light enlightens everyone. This is what John is saying. Jesus is the light. We just sang that. He is light, light, light. It's true. Jesus calls himself, I am the light. It's a image that he feels very comfortable in saying, I am the light of the world. I have a message to the world. If they hear the message, it'll be light to them. So the light manifests the power in the presence of God. It's a big theme in the Gospel of John, the motif of light and darkness, darkness and light, all the way through the book. Jesus says, I am the light. But the catch is, we have to be receptive to the light, because we can choose darkness as opposed to the light. We might say, why would someone do that? Well, many do. And at times, perhaps we even do. Hear what Jesus says. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He's not yelling at everybody, right? He's not saying that. But he's saying people can choose darkness. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. So we have to be receptive to light. We have to want the light. We can choose darkness. So for each one of us here, Advent is about light. It's about life. It's about light. And will we be receptive to the light? Will we say yes to the light? Every Advent is an opportunity to say yes to the light. Christmas Eve, we have a service, mostly singing, and we all hold a candle of light. Because Jesus is our light, and we want to manifest that light to others. That's what we're saying. So the point is that there can be people who are physically alive but not spiritually alive. That's what Jesus is saying. You can choose darkness over light. So we can have physical life but not have eternal life. We have to choose that. John used that Bonhoeffer quote. What did he say? Bonhoeffer says you've got to open the door from the outside. You have to be receptive to the light. Isn't that how it goes? You've got to open the door. One way or the other, you've got to open the door. Jesus doesn't force himself on you. God doesn't force himself on you. In fact, God goes where he's wanted. That's the bottom line. And if we don't want him here, he'll go somewhere where he's wanted. The Holy Spirit will go where he's wanted. She is wanted. So there's lots and lots of places that are open, and there are places that are not so open. Our job is to be open, right? To be open. Because if we start closing our hearts, close them all up, God's going to go where he's wanted. All over the world. And generally, God goes where there are poor. He's in solidarity with the poor. People who want to reach out. That's where God goes. So we may be physically alive, but not spiritually alive. So that's a bit of a challenge. We want to hear that, and we want to say yes to God. That's our opportunity in Advent. John writes here, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." Again, believe, more than just an intellectual idea, to become children of God. That's the invitation. For us to be sons and daughters of God, to become like God in Christ. It's an amazing, amazing future. Hopefully we will open our hearts and minds and our spirits that we want to say yes, 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 yes. Say yes to God. Third theme, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And the Word, Logos, became flesh. Third word is sarx, flesh, because this is an action of love. And the Word, God in his Son, second person, became flesh and lived amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Carries on, verse 16, I love, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And note, the law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's the first time Jesus is mentioned in this gospel. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Now John, the evangelist, gets to his main point. This is all a prologue. And now he's going to say, and what I want to really talk to you about is God with us in Jesus Christ, and the whole rest of the gospel is about Jesus. The Logos takes on flesh, and a little baby is born in Bethlehem. And what does Herod try to do right away when he hears about it? Kill the baby. What does Satan want to do? Kill the baby. Let's get rid of the baby. The baby is very important. Let's get rid of the baby. I mean, these are the big mystical themes that are going on in this story. God comes in this little baby. Jesus, a baby. Just like we have babies, a baby. Imagine God breaking into our world and becomes this helpless little baby. Dependent upon people like Mary and Martha and others to take care of the little baby. God's taking a big risk here. We generally are not all that trustworthy. Would I really want to put all of my hope in the hands of these two little young people, Mary and Joseph, and my sons on the line? God takes a risk. And he does it out of love. It's the only reason. He does it because he loves us. For God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. He does it out of love. He wants us to become all that we can possibly be, sons and daughters of Christ, sons and daughters of Adam, and go on and be all that we can be. Return to the garden and more because of love. So the Word became flesh, incarnation, an action of love. And note, the Word tabernacled amongst us. The Word tented amongst us. The Word identifies with us in solidarity. God completely in solidarity with us. Jesus comes in Luke chapter 4 to announce good news to the poor. the poor all around the planet, the poor of Bolivia, poor of India, poor of Canada. God comes to identify with the poor. Why? Because the poor generally will have open heads and say, yeah. And all and with us maybe have more, we say, well, I don't know. Right? I'm doing okay as it is. I don't know if I need this Jesus. Until you get old and sick, and then maybe you say, okay, maybe I do need Jesus. Or you say, I need something. You start looking for something. God with us, in solidarity with us, Gospel of John. He loves us. He loves you. We can say, well, if he loved me, he could show it a little better. I might do a little better than I'm doing. My cousin out west has a song where the neighbor down the road gets the new car. And she says it's a gospel song, and she says, you missed me once again by one driveway. That's how the words of the song go. It's a country song. One driveway, the BMW went there and not here. You could love me better. Because we measure things in such tangible ways. If this happened to me and this happened to me, then I really know you would love me. Studied with a woman once in Spanish, studied with lots of people in Spanish over the years, desperately trying to learn this language, and I'm still crappy at it. Get this, she won the lottery, won $500,000. That's pretty good, right? Got her a house. But she kept playing the lottery and kept praying to Mary, she's Catholic, that she would win just one more lottery. Because then if I really won one, I'd pick a big one, then I could really do a lot of good. I've won one, but I want to win another one. And if I win another one, then I know you're really with me. And I'm saying, you know what, you've already won one lottery. That's pretty good. Lots of people don't win a lottery. You missed me by one driveway. So if we're looking for that kind of tangible proof, we're going to have a hard time because God is much more mystical than that. He's thinking long term, big term. God in solidarity with us. Am I going the right way? Yeah, I am. Thanks, Dave. Here we close up. Advent is waiting. Waiting in terms of life, Zoe, light, phos, love, charis. Verse 16, grace upon grace. God's grace upon grace is shown to us. Love that. So all of this, to move from fear and indifference to unity and love, and to understand the body language of God. That's the last point. We have body language, right? If I do this, that's body language. When you read that, I don't know what you read on that. Okay, the guy's contemplating. He's thinking about something. That's body language. That's body language. Almost spooked Sasha, right? But I didn't. Body language. So what's our body language and what is God's body language in Jesus Christ for us? A baby's born in Bethlehem for you and for me, that we might know life, that we might know light and not just darkness, and that we will know his love. Advent is about that. May we hear, may we say yes. In your life this week, read it over again. Ask the Spirit to reveal what he's got for you there. In Jesus' name, amen.